KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. We begin with the Me Too social media campaign. The allegations that movie mogul Harvey Weinstein sexually harassed and assaulted women during the course of his career has prompted many women to share their tales of unwanted advances, touching comments, and sexually suggestive jokes. Me Too is all over social media, and it's made its way to the state capitol in Sacramento. A group of female lobbyists, lawmakers, and staffers signed a public letter released yesterday, and this letter describes a culture of sexual harassment in the political workplace. Joining me now is one of the more than 140 women who signed this letter, Samantha Corbin. She works as a lobbyist in Sacramento. Ms. Corbin, welcome to the California Report.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I would imagine that all of the women you spoke with as this was being organized did not want to go forward, did not want to put their names out there. Can you tell us a little bit about those conversations?
Sure. It's overwhelming. It's exciting, but it's also heartbreaking given the subject matter. This really all sort of started last Friday, so it's only been a couple days, and it was just a handful of us when a good friend called and had a bad experience and thought, gosh, let's write an op-ed or something. If I write it, will you put your name on it? And a handful of us started sharing it with other friends for feedback to see if they would put their names on it. And the next thing you know, upwards of 400, 500 women in the Capitol community had all received it. Many called. A lot of us who have been organizing Adama, my girlfriend who sort of was a catalyst of this, for hours. 10, 11 o'clock at night calls, 6 o'clock in the morning calls to talk about their experiences. And a number of women were actually told by their employers they were not allowed to sign on. Several others had to wait through extensive HR processes to be allowed to sign on. And others told us they would love to, but feared retribution or that they would lose their job if they did sign on. And in fact, there's a few women who signed on who said they still feared retribution and job loss, but it was important enough that they wanted to sign on anyway.
Wow.
It's inspiring.
One of the more, to me, outrageous criticisms of when someone is either harassed or abused or assaulted is in the moment, oftentimes they don't stand up for themselves right then and there, or they don't say something right then and there. And they are often criticized later for not doing so right in that moment. Can you help us understand why someone who is either going through harassment or some type of, whether it's a minor or major assault, might not stand up right then and there in that moment?
Oh, I had one woman who reached out and said she was just literally paralyzed. She was so shocked that it was happening to her. And again, there is a power dynamic at play, whether it is by dint of just a man's sheer size, larger, taller, stronger than you, physically approaching you or getting in your personal space, there's a natural physical response to recoil and to be self-protective. But there is definitely, you know, a lot of money, and there's definitely a lot of alcohol, and we are just a really horrible petri dish of disaster waiting to happen.
I want to thank you, Ms. Corbin, so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was lobbyist Samantha Corbin. We're going to move now. Check in on the Wine Country wildfires. Firefighters have made great strides, and more people are returning to their homes, or returning to the places where their homes once stood. Meanwhile, we told you last week about the scrutiny PG&E is under as investigators are looking at the company's power lines as the potential source of these fires, even though investigators have not made a determination of the cause. Despite that, PG&E is now being sued by a Santa Rosa couple who saw their home burned. We're going to bring you more on that story tomorrow. As for today, many of the people returning to their property for the first time should know there are dangers hidden in the ash. The burning materials create toxic particulates in the air, particulates that can make one sick. So what to do? Well, UCSF pulmonologist Robert Blount says the most important thing is to wear a mask with the label N95.
Then the second thing is to cover up. Have a good pair of shoes on, long pants, long sleeve shirt, ideally gloves as well. Then the third thing would be to make sure that you don't bring in those dirty clothes to where you're staying.
Blount says to take off contaminated clothes before entering a house and wash them separately. Governor Jerry Brown's signature water project, the Twin Delta Water Tunnels, is facing yet another challenge. A major water supplier in the South Bay area voted to support a version with only one tunnel instead of two. KQED's Lauren Summer explains.
For years now, it's been the twin tunnels, two big tunnels that would go through the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. And the idea that the state has is to more reliably carry water through the delta. And from there, it goes to Southern California, to Central Valley Ag, and to the South Bay Area. The problem is that Central Valley Agricultural Water Districts, namely Westlands Water District, said that right now it's not on board with paying for those tunnels. So what the Santa Clara Valley Water District in the South Bay Area said was, we're still supportive, but we'd rather pay for a smaller project, a one-tunnel project that's going to be cheaper. So now what's going to happen is that the state is going to be meeting with all these water users to try to figure out what kind of project they can put together. And this is where it's really going to get messy in terms of water politics in California.
That was KQED's Lauren Summer talking about the twin, or maybe solo, Delta Water Tunnel System.
Support for the California Report comes from Paint Care. Now with over 800 drop-off sites in California, where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected, on the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
A story in the Sacramento Bee this week reports authorities are finding illegal marijuana grow houses in suburban areas. That's not unusual. What is unusual is who is tending these plants. Chinese nationals. According to the Bee, raids in Yuba, Yolo, Placer, and Sacramento counties have rounded up dozens of Chinese workers, many of them speaking little English and offering no help to investigators. You can find this interesting, stereotype-challenging story on my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, October 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda.